Hi, and welcome to the first ever Data Source Rex podcast, where today's guest, Kasia, is going to guide us through her awesome Tableau public fizz, how she went about making it, and how she embedded awesome animations in, and how you can do it too. We also get to understand her creative process, and also why it's important to have multiple creative outlets. So I hope you keep on watching, and you'll get a lot out of it. So without further ado, let's dive in. Oh, hi, Kasia. How are you going?
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, thanks for joining the first ever Datasaurus Rex, I guess, pod video cast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Yeah. No worries. The purpose is to show off great creators and data visualizations, and your one is awesome. So I want to. Yeah.
Thanks.
No worries.
It's amazing to hear that. Thanks.
No, it's awesome. What we're going to do today is I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and I'm just going to get up on screen whilst we go. But whilst I do that, do you just want to give like a quick intro, either who you are or what you do, and I'll get it fired up.
Sure. So I'm Kasia. I work at Refinitiv. This is previously a financial and risk business of Thomson Reuters, which you might not know. So I work in the marketing department. I'm a marketing data analyst, and at my work, around 80% of the time I spent with Tableau building dashboards.
Oh, wow.
But I was introduced to the tool itself only when I started this job. So I don't really have years of experience with Tableau. It's just around, I would say, a year and a half now. But yeah.
Oh,
I'm learning every day, so yeah.
Wow, you made this with only a year and a half of experience. That's incredible.
I think the big accelerator in this was IronFist competitions. Because I started taking part in them in April last year, and I took part in three rounds altogether. So every single one of them was a huge challenge, a lot of preparation and, research work done. And I had to learn a lot of new tricks in Tableau to get my submissions done. So I think that's what would really help me to improve my skills.
Oh, amazing. Okay, no, that's definitely something, I encourage. And it's awesome to see that engaging in that kind of pushes people to make awesome stuff. Like this. So
yeah.
I'm just going to bring that up on screen so people know what we're talking about. But this is the this is the visual that Kasia made. Okay, so here it is. So this is beautiful. So it's looking at the garbage in the ocean. There's so many interactive elements, and I'd love for you in a second to talk me through it. But I want to pick your brains about how you did this awesome animation too. But I guess the first question would be for me, and because I want the users to explore this too, of what's actually inside of it. I'd love to first understand what the inspiration was. So you mentioned IronVis, but what made you gravitate towards talking about ocean pollution?
The motivation for doing the whole this was twofold. So from one side, I really wanted to try out the whole animation part of it. It was a minor reason for doing it, but still, when I was thinking of an example of something that I could animate, I was thinking about a wave as a simple example. So I felt like it would fit in very nicely with the whole topic. But the major reason was, as I said, the whole the topic itself. Because a couple of years ago, I developed quite strong interest towards learning about sustainability and environmental issues on both local and global scale. And I think that and that particular topic really interested me. And I feel like it is so important, but the awareness of it maybe is not exactly there. So with my viz, I kind of tried to, I felt that it is important for us to share this knowledge once you learn about it, to spread this message and share it with the wider audience. And what better means of doing this than Tableau public, at least in my case, you know. So, yeah, I think I kind of accomplished this because my viz got quite a big recognition in my view. However, I'm not sure if it's mostly due to the animation part of it or the content itself. But either way, I think it's all right because, like, even if people came for the technical part of it, like, they probably got themselves familiar with the topic itself. So I think automatically they learned something new. And for me, this is everything I wanted. So, yeah.
Totally, yeah. Like, I'm really impressed. Like, I didn't actually know cigarette butts was such a big issue,
Yeah,
but suddenly I see
exactly.
this, and for your
Yeah, I
viz.
didn't know that either. Yeah, it was surprising to me as well.
Oh, that's exciting, yeah. Because it's like, I think that's a sign of a great viz. Even if you're not an expert or have even no awareness of a topic, the fact that a good viz can, get people up to speed on key topics or
Yeah.
key points is brilliant. And this has done just that. So, yeah, I'm loving
Yeah.
looking through it. And your design encourages like engagement as too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this is amazing. I definitely learned a lot from this and want to learn more. So, okay, that's cool. So that's great about the inspiration. Out of so let's move on to the next question. How did you collect the data? What were your
Yeah.
sources?
So the data collection process was not the easiest, but I think it rarely is with any of this, really. So if you ask anyone dealing with analysis and data visualization, it's usually the hardest part to get the right data set because usually the data is messy. There are some missing values or values that are not reliable. So these are the regular challenges. And in my case, the challenge was to put the context of the time needed for each debris item to decompose. That was a big challenge because I was able to find quite reliable data on the volume of items found from the Ocean Conservancy report. So that was an easy part. But then I wanted to add this additional context, and I found that it's so hard to estimate how long it takes for these items to decompose, mostly due to the fact that they are made, the majority of these items are made of plastic, and plastic has not been around for long enough for us to know exactly how long it takes for it to decompose. And there are different types of plastic. So when I was looking at my data set, I was considering every single debris item separately almost. I was looking at the set of variables such as size of an item, thickness of material. Like I wasn't able to analyze the level of exposure to sunlight, for example, to estimate how long it takes. So it is a rough estimate, but still I think it gives you an idea of what is most harmful, basically.
No, totally. And I also love how you make some of these dates relatable because I think it seems like you've identified this when humans start thinking in hundreds of years or thousands of
Yeah,
years,
exactly.
they lose all concepts. So I love how you've gone, that's how long it took for the Mercedes-Benz to be invented and stuff like that.
If you think about it, a water bottle takes 450 years to decompose, and that's just an average. It can be more, it can be less, but still, it's horrible when you think about it. Like 450 years is something, we are around for only like one fifth of that. So that's
Yeah,
shocking. Yeah.
totally. Especially for something so even not even just humans' lifespan, just for the duration of the purpose of the item too, right? It's there
Yeah,
for a few
exactly.
hours and it's done. And
Yeah.
I'm just looking at your viz too, and I'm like, no, every country is pretty guilty of this, but it's really interesting to see where it's coming from too,
Yeah.
with the hover tooltip. So that's a great way to, I feel, the way you brought that extra information when people want to know more,
Yeah.
rather than putting it all on the
Yeah.
page at once. So.
Yeah, so also with the data, when I was doing research, I found out that there are actually, I think, three rivers in Asia that contribute mostly to the ocean pollution. And it's like the reason why you find these items elsewhere is because they migrate, if you say, to these parts of the world. But also bear in mind that the data reports on items collected. So you have to think about the amount of people who were actually working on the project. So I believe that in US, for example, and the southern part of America, North America, There are just many people working on cleaning up shores and oceans, and maybe that's why the majority of items was found there. But still, you can see some differences between items and where they've been found. So it's quite interesting.
Oh, no, totally. And I think, yeah, there is that, you're right, the bias of where it's being reported, but I still feel some data is better than no data, right? And it's still,
yes.
Yeah, it's, I'd rather have good or halfway decent rather than perfect, especially with something like this, because it's still, even with half the picture, it still looks gloomy. So it's good that this is being highlighted in such an awesome way. Okay, great. Okay, let's go on to the next question. How did you go about approaching the creation of this viz? Did you like sketch it out, or did you just have a clear vision? Like, I'd love to understand your thought process.
So obviously I always start with the question, what I want to answer with my viz. So I do this with every single project, not only for Tableau Public, but also at work, just trying to really think about what I want to, what message I want to convey with the this. And once I had this nailed down, so in my case, it was a strong focus on what has been found and how long it takes for it to decompose if left in the environment. And then I started sketching things out. That's also a step I always take. So in case of this particular this, I had a very clear idea how I wanted the this to look. Because of animations and everything. So I started sketching things out, but obviously it was not the final final design. It was not the end result. So it just gave me an idea of what I want to follow, basically. But then it was a very much an iterative process where I would go back and change things as I needed or feel something would look better, basically. But in general, I would say that my designs are like largely inspired by the work of people who create infographics, because I really love infographic style. I think it's an amazing like combination of the design and the data. What makes people being a bit, you know, like captivated by the data itself, it makes it more interesting. But what I feel personally is that I kind of feel like infographics might not really report on very reliable data at times, you know, like sometimes it just seems like maybe the trade-off between, there is some trade-off between design and the data, and people are leaning more towards the design part, so they just make like the data work for the design rather the other way around. So that's what I try to avoid in that viz. And I think Tableau is a great way of doing this, because it not only allows you to like create great design, but also like do it in a way that data is analyzed in a very professional way. So,
awesome. No, that's really good to hear. And it's great to hear that you have like a, you try and figure out the overarching structure first visually, because I've been guilty of this myself, where I dive in and just go, I'm going to make stuff. And then,
very tempting.
Yeah, it's like kind of building a road without a plan, and then you go off in all these different directions, waste time. So that's awesome. But you're also right too. I feel the same way about infographics. Like, some of them are great, but then sometimes they do, I guess, compromise their core job of informing people just to look good. So
They don't provide resources as well. So you feel like, oh, how did you come up with this data? You know. So I think it's important to be very transparent and clear about the data, and if there are any limitations of it, you have to highlight it, because it is also an important part of visualization design.
Totally, and I love that you've put that in there too, with a good use of vis and tooltips again. Again, it's like, if you want to know more, there it is. If not, it's gone. So great stuff. And I think you definitely struck a balance perfectly, because I think a lot of infographics, they're one shots, but with yours, we're using Tableau, you can explore it, right?
Like, exactly. It's interactive. So
You engage the user. Like, sure, it looks pretty, and you've hooked them in, but then they're like, oh, now I want to, okay, cigarettes. Wow, what's this big bubble here? Oh, it's glass. Like, it's really cool. So, I think
thank you.
Visually great, but then it goes beyond that, because if it looks good, but then there's no substance, people will go away. But you're going to keep them around. And I'd also made them
I'm
learn.
glad it worked this way.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would work this way. So, yeah.
No, it's cool. And yeah, hopefully they'll learn a few things along the way too, which is, I guess, the hope of most
Yeah,
people who make business. So, yeah.
exactly.
Okay, no, that's awesome. So, I've also noticed with your viz, as we've been looking at it, you've got this really great, elegantly designed animation going on at the top. I'd love to understand like some of the technical stuff of how you've actually made that, because it's really elegant. And I've actually dabbled with myself, kind of a bit more crudely using just like Photoshop, trying to get things to loop. But it seems like there's way more going on with yours, so I'd love to understand more.
So I've actually created a guest blog post on that topic, where I've created like a whole walkthrough of how I created these animations, and hopefully it was a simplified version of it, so it's more like for other users so that they can create them themselves.
That's amazing. I'll make sure to provide a link for that in this video. Cool.
Definitely, because I think people have had a read through this and they found it useful. So yeah, definitely. But just to simplify the whole process, I did use Adobe Illustrator, so this is all based on vector graphics rather
Vectors,
than
okay.
raster images in Photoshop. And I had like the wave consists of different layers basically, so I made like different layers move in different directions. But long story short, I first created the vector graphic in Adobe Illustrator, exported it into the SVG file, which is almost like a code. So it's a set of mathematical like sentences, mathematical sentences which define vectors, and based on that I've added a script for animations which move these vectors in certain directions. Then I've saved it into HTML and published it on the AWS server.
Oh, cool. Wow, that's way better than me just bunging a GIF up online. That's a really
But so
impressive.
I did start with a GIF actually, a while ago when I was doing a visualization for Christmas or something. Around that time, I used a GIF file that I found online and just embedded it within the dashboard in Tableau. So I guess that was the first step of finding out whether that will be possible at all. And once I knew that this worked out, then I just came up with the idea of taking it up to the next level with my custom animations.
Totally. And I think I know a little bit about SVGs and stuff. I'm sure that your approach is way more efficient in terms of file size, because I found personally when I was making GIFs, they could actually be quite big. And
They
sure,
can
everyone's
be.
got good internet, and but it's still, if it takes a few seconds to load, that'll put people off. Whereas with yours, it's like, bam, it's there straight away.
Well, it might be also due to the fact that the image itself, the vector, is quite simplistic. It doesn't have too many like anchor points. If you work with vectors, you know that these points. If you have many of these points, then the mathematical construction of the vector is quite complicated. So in my case, that was very simplistic, and I think that's why it wasn't that heavy on the loading time.
Got you. But I also love you've got this is even smarter, you've got the boats. They're like Tableau. They look like icons, but they're still behind the waves, which is so awesome. That's
I
like next
really
level
love this
stuff.
feature. I love this feature. It's using transparent worksheets, and ever since I discovered it, I use it all the time because I really like it.
Yeah, no, this is wow, it's amazing. And I just realized, yeah, you can hover over the boats too, which is giving even more information. You've put like little Easter eggs into your work, which just keeps making you want to come back. So, it's too exciting. Okay, brilliant. Thanks for that. Okay, let's move on to the next question, which is, what would the? I guess we've already talked about this briefly. You mentioned a few insights, but what would be the best insight you found from doing all of this and looking at the data?
Oh, so honestly, the amount of research that went into the whole this was ginormous, I would say. But it's not only because like it's not really about the the requirement of the viz itself, because the viz was focused on one aspect of that problem. But purely because I was so interested in it, I started digging. So I found out a lot of data. And in the viz itself, you can see that there are some shocking facts that are just emerging out of the data, such as the fact that every single minute one garbage truck is being dumped to the ocean, and that's horrific. Oh, wow. When you think about it, or the fact that every single minute people buy 1 million bottles of water around the world, or the fact that by 2050 there will be more plastic than fish in the ocean. So it is absolutely shocking to me, and that's why I started digging more. So I found out so much data that it was really hard for me. It was quite challenging to focus my attention on, you know, only one thing, because you want to, like, you almost want to include everything because it's all so interesting. And one such example would be what I found about microplastic. So the microplastic is the plastic that breaks down into smaller pieces and floats in the ocean, and it looks like a soup almost. And what happens is that the fish would digest the microplastic because it mistakes it for plankton. So the plastic would, their digestive system would not be able to break this down. So that plastic would stay in the fish, and then that fish ends up on your plate, and you eat it with all these toxins. So it's almost like a full cycle of, you know, that this plastic takes on, and it's horrible if you think about it, because it does not only affect marine life but also our lives.
I've heard like a few news stories on that, but I guess you're right, it's going to become more and more prevalent, and it's impacting us. It's not just we're doing stuff, doesn't matter, it doesn't affect us, it's in the ocean, but that brings it home a lot more. It's like literally and figuratively.
It's everywhere. And I think it's important to talk about this now, even if it's with such a viz or any other way that you choose, because I think we are at turning point now where there might be no going back. You know, we're doing so much damage to our planet that at some point it might be just too late. So,
Totally. No, I agree. And like looking at going back to your viz, it's kind of like, we're putting all this in, but then it's raising the question immediately to me, like, well, even if we stop today, how do we get rid of it? Yeah. Like, because that's going to be here for ages.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even a bit sad fact about all this is that even though so much has been already collected, of these items have been so much has been already collected, it's still the amount of garbage that ends up in the ocean every single minute is just enormous, and we are just not catching up with the speed, with the pace at which the ocean is being just horribly cluttered with the plastic. Yeah.
Well, I have to admit ignorance. I didn't know about the garbage truck every minute thing, and now I do, and I'm like, what can I do? This is, and I love how you started with that. It's top left with, you know, hierarchy of viewing stuff. Mm-hmm. You put that front and center. So hopefully you make that apparent to more people. So thank you for that. Okay. So we touched upon this too, but what skills, I mean, we talked about how you kind of dabbled in the vector graphics and all this stuff. Was there a skill you learned from doing justice projects or?
I would have to say that it was the animations, really, because it was one big experiment for me. Like, I didn't really know whether it's going to work or not. But either way, I would publish this. But because of the topic itself, it was too important to just not publish it because of animations not working, right? But still, it was pretty cool that it worked out. So I feel like animations have a huge potential to give additional edge to any dashboard and take it up a notch, basically. But I also feel like it's important to use them in a more subtle way rather than, you know, like the flashy in your face kind of a way, because I think you know, they might take away attention from your content and the data, and that's the last thing you want to do.
No, totally, and that's very wise, because it's, yeah, it's all great getting excited about animation, but it's got to serve a purpose, I guess, and if it's
exactly
going against that purpose of informing the user, then yeah, it's definitely a balance.
Don't do this.
It's a balance I found hard to make. So okay, that's awesome. So I guess we're gonna do a couple more questions on this viz, and then we'll get to some rapid fire questions. But so the next question around this is, what's next for you? What other data sets are you looking to tackle? What projects are we gonna expect if we follow you?
Well, for me, the big challenge is that I am not only like working on Tableau, but I'm also a wedding stationer, and I do like modern calligraphy and lettering projects. So there's a lot of juggling. It's a bit of a juggling act for me to do everything at once. That's why I don't have like so much time to publish everything very frequently, which I'm planning to change this year anyway.
Great.
But next project that I'm thinking about is also about environmental issues. So it's about smog. So this is a combination of fog and a smoke. And this is currently a very, very hot topic, if you want to call it this way, but for all the wrong reasons, here in Poland. I think we're a second country in the world where this issue is affecting the country the most, and it's actually impacting people's life around the country quite considerably, especially in the southern part of the country. So I don't think that many people know about this, actually.
I didn't know, so I'm really interested to learn about this.
It's not as problematic in some parts of the country, of globe, of world, as in others. And I unfortunately live in the country where this is a huge problem. And, you know, like, we are breathing the polluted air every single day. So you can imagine how this is impacting our lives, basically.
Totally. So, no, that's really interesting. And I'm glad you're going to turn your creative talents to making raising awareness, because, yeah, that's not good stuff. I've just realized why they call it smog. So thank you for explaining that to us. Smoke and fog, of course.
Yes.
It's one of those things you just don't realize. You just use the word.
Yeah.
But no, that's really exciting. So I am, I'm subscribed. I'm totally going
to stay
looking forward to that. Yeah. And I'm confident and looking forward to the thoughtful, I guess, not only design, but also the narrative you're going to bring to that. So like you've done with this garbage in the ocean viz. So exciting. And I encourage everyone who's watching this or who's, you know, seen this to follow Kasia on, I guess, Twitter and Tableau Public. And also Instagram. Do you post your vizes there on Instagram?
I don't post my vizes. I focus my Instagram more on my creative projects, on wedding stationery and modern calligraphy.
Well, that's cool. I want to go check that out too. So they should all be on the screen. So people, encourage everyone to follow that. So excellent.
Sure.
Okay, cool. So I guess I've jumped the gun. So I was going to ask you, like, if there's anything else you'd like to promote, but I guess, your other activities. So do you want to briefly mention, like, what styles of calligraphy you do
The
other things?
So for anyone interested, I am doing modern calligraphy. So this is something very different from traditional calligraphy, because it does not have to stick to, like, very specific rules, and traditional calligraphy is very specific, and you have to just follow specific steps with everything. And modern calligraphy is more like freestyle, so that's why I like it. And I am by no means like an expert, so it's more like something I do for fun and just like for my wedding stationery projects, and I really do enjoy it. And like, I feel like maybe the fact that I'm doing both wedding stationery, calligraphy, and Tableau Public is amazing for me, because I don't get a chance to get bored with any of these activities, because they're so different. So
No, that's a great approach, and I personally find that too when I'm making videos or vizzes. It's you, and then you can all learn from each other, right? You might have this one approach to another project. You know, when I make my next other thing. So it's great to find other creative people. Yeah. So perfect. Okay, cool. So you guys want to follow that? So there's the links. I'll put the links in the video, but also they've been popping up on screen. So I'd encourage you to check that out. So. Okay, let's. We got some time. We got like 10 more minutes. So I'm going to fire a few questions. They're going to try and be rapid fire. So feel free to, if you want, just give like a short answers. So let's fire in. So first one is in the Tableau community or just data visualization community. Who inspires you or what inspires you?
Oh, there are so many people in the community that I follow on Twitter. I don't want to mention one single name because there are many of them, but I encourage anyone to follow a Twitter community and Makeover Monday and Workout Wednesday projects because they are all very inspiring.
Amazing. Cool. That's great. I'd encourage that too. But you're right. There's so many talented people. We'd be here forever.
Yeah.
which I think is a good thing about the Tableau community too, because it's like there's so many passionate people like yourself, like all the others out there. Again, I'm thinking like, wow, who do I name? Because if I start naming one, I've got to name them all.
Exactly. You name one person and then another one will be like, oh, why did she not name me?
Yeah, I might be like, oh, you mentioned me. No. But it's also, if you mention it, I feel bad like forgetting someone too because there's just so many. But
yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so next question is, what's your number one tip or trick in Tableau that you could give to Tableau newbies?
Number one trick. I have so many tricks, but recently is the transparent worksheet functionality because it allows you to create tooltips. I use it for tooltips specifically on graphic elements, basically.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
great.
My
great
favorite one.
Cool. I'm going back to the viz and I'm like, I can see so much of that. And it's such a great thing there. So nice one.
Yeah. Okay. I've used it on the bots, for example. So if anyone is interested, they can check it out on that.
Totally. Yeah, no, I love the boat then. It's awesome. Yeah. Okay. It's an interesting one. What is your favorite chart type?
My favorite chart type is definitely not the pie chart. There's so much hate towards pie chart these days, so I can't say that. My favorite, I do like just scatterplot, really. I do use it quite a bit. I feel like it allows you to explore the data quite extensively, and even in my recent viz and the garbage in the ocean viz, I did use it. And it seems like such a simplistic chart because, you know, there's not much to it. But still, I think sometimes it's better to not overcomplicate things with fancy charts and just put the focus on making the data clear and just easy to read. And I think those scatter plots are a great way of doing that.
Great. No, yeah, I'm a big fan of this too. Especially when you give people like another rule to interpret it, like top right quadrant good, bottom left quadrant bad.
Even
if they're not an expert, they can quickly go, oh, what are these bad ones, what are these good ones?
Excellent. I do that quite a lot, so
other than Tableau, what other tools do you find yourself using when you're creating data visualizations?
So at the moment, I'm using only Tableau for just putting everything together. But I do, I create quite a lot of graphic elements myself in Adobe Illustrator. And that's what I mainly use for the design part of it. I used to use a different tool called iAnalyze of my previous work. You might not know it. I think it's quite niche. But it was very different. I think it was more like Power BI, which I don't use. I get a feeling that it's very similar. And obviously Excel for preparing the data.
Yeah. No, Excel still has a place. Like I used to be really good at it too, and like I use it more like as a data shaping thing now. I know there is Tableau Prep, but sometimes if you more familiar with Excel. Yeah, just go in there, give a little tweak, clean it up.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
use AlterX as well,
Ah.
which is, I think, very similar to Tableau Prep. I
Hmm.
don't want to say if it's not true, but I feel, in my opinion, it's quite similar. So it's
Yeah.
also very good for like creating joins and just like cleaning your data because before it goes into Tableau. But like for Excel, for example, it's still like very traditional way of preparing the data, and I still quite like it. And before I started working with Tableau, I was just like Excel only, like I mastered Excel and I need to work in Excel, but everything changed once I moved to Tableau.
Oh.
So now the purpose of using Excel just changed. So
Totally.
yeah.
I feel you. I made a video about that. As soon as I found Tableau, I was like, my career just shot up because I could do the things. It took me a long time in Excel, which I could do, but
Exactly.
it's,
Yeah.
yeah, but it's just when you realize you can do them in a fifth at a time or less, and you're like, oh my God. It's,
Yeah, it's so easy here. Yeah, I'm not going back.
Yeah, even basic stuff of
Definitely.
like expanding or aggregating dates. Like
Yeah.
it's so simple, but
Yeah.
it's just takes those extra few minutes in Excel. But yeah. Okay, no, great. So we've got one last question. And it is essentially, well, I guess you said you've only been using it for 1.5 years, but what was your first version of Tableau? Can you remember?
My goodness. I don't remember. It was the whatever version there was in December 2017. I
Okay,
think
yeah.
it could have been 10.34.
Okay,
Is it
cool.
possible? I'm not sure, but I feel it might have been that one. So a lot has changed since that version. And yeah, I can see that like my work is becoming increasingly easier with all the new features that Tableau has introduced.
Oh no, awesome. Yeah, I no, 10 was great. Yeah, a lot more has happened, but yeah, for me personally, I used I think I started on 6, so there's a
Oh
lot which has
wow.
changed. Like
Oh.
even like with geo mapping codes, like
Yeah.
when they realized it was more than just America, and there was like geo, you need geos for other parts of the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, so no, I think
And I think there were no LODA calculations in previous versions, right?
no, or you
Since
have to do weird hacky things. So yeah, you've come at a good time. I think 10 was a good entry one. So yeah, but yeah, so no, that's awesome. Okay, so yeah, thank you very much for your time, Keisha. This has
Yeah,
been
thank you.
awesome. I feel I've learned a lot about your viz, your Tableau journey, and also about you. So, do you have any final words for our viewers here?
Oh, I don't know. Like, just stay tuned because I'm hoping to create more great visits in the future. So, yeah, and thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
No, my pleasure. Thank you again for coming. It's the reason for this podcast is to highlight great work and great creators. And yeah, you're definitely one of them. So I hope more
Thank you.
people come and see your work because of this. So yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks for your time. And
Okay, thank you.
talk soon. Bye.
Bye.